Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now let's read it together, please. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Father, we thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for what it means to us. Now, Father, help us to do more than that, and that is apply the word of God as we hear it preached today. God, work in our hearts. Help us to be better for being here today. And Father, that will be accomplished if we apply what is preached today. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, we're going to need the Holy Spirit's help. First, to fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit and fill us to hear what you have for us. And then, Father, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray they'd get that fixed before they leave this room today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we'll ask that you make sure your cell phones are turned off, etc. Of course, if you use that for your Bible, that is one thing. If you're checking your Facebook page, God will drop you like third period French. So help us and just turn your cell phone off, all right? Thank you very much. We understand the principle of buying and selling, don't we? Now, you do understand this morning that men and women approach that differently. Is that true? You're not going to get all Hillary on me now. You're going to get upset or anything like that. I didn't say good or bad or whatever. I said men and women approach buying differently. We do. Here's how it works. Men understand buying. Women understand shopping. Men do not understand shopping. We don't. Don't leave me up here by myself now. I said, we don't. We do not understand shopping. I want to go shopping. I would rather have somebody take pliers and pull my toenails off than wander around the mall for 2 hours and come out with a 97-cent candle. I just can't understand that. It's true. Men understand buying. We walk in, we buy, we walk out. We're done. It's good. Please. Don't. Hold on. Stay still. Men should understand shopping better. We'd probably save more money and that kind of stuff, but we look at it this way. Time is money. If I go to five different stores to save 82 cents, that's not worth my time. It just isn't. And somehow, you ladies, God bless you, you get enjoyment out of that. I don't even like to stand in line. That drives me crazy. You're standing in line waiting on a person who's arguing over an 82-cent item that's not worth a nickel to call back to a department that doesn't exist because nobody's working back there to get the actual price to save the 5 cents that the actual price is. I've stood there many a time, took money out of my pocket, said, so I'll give you 10 bucks for that if you just let me out of here. Please. I don't understand that. So we approach these things differently. Is that okay? Not better, not worse, not really. But the truth is we just look at it a little bit differently, okay? Buying, selling. Now when it comes to selling, we do that differently also. How many of you have ever had a garage sale? You've had a garage sale before. Put your hand up like that. See, first of all, you don't have a garage sale because you never sell your garage. You sell the junk in that garage. And you buy the junk from somebody else's garage to put it with your junk in your garage. But when it comes to selling like that, we do it differently. Women will stand there and they will negotiate over a 25-cent item. Man will just give it to them. Just take it. I don't care. I don't have to put it away. Just take it. Haul it off. Go ahead. Tell you what, 25 cents the whole table. Just take it all. Just haul it off there. I don't care. I'm going to stand there and argue and negotiate over an old pair of underwear. I mean, just, you know, have it. You can just have it. Just take all that stuff. Please haul it off. We understand the selling principle until it's something that we really like, and then we're going to go to the death to get the nickel out of that thing. The point of buying and selling this morning. Now, God is saying, buy the truth and sell it not. So if we take the difference between buying and selling between men and women, we understand God's principle here. We understand ladies and gentlemen, you do understand today what value God places on the truth. You do understand today, dear people, that truth is not subjective or objective. Truth is truth. It's either true or it's not. Now see, in our day and age, that's changing for everybody. Excuse me. That's changing for a lot of people. For a lot of people today, what's true today wasn't true 20 years ago. 20 years ago, what was true is not true anymore to some people. And because of that, now please listen this morning. This message is very simple. Because of that, people today are very confused about things. Just basic things. People's, you know, what a man is, what a woman is, what roles in life, what we should be doing with our lives. What is a home? What is a family? What is a church? And because we have allowed people to change the truth about things, now there's great confusion. You'll notice here, and as you know, in Proverbs, this is a father talking to his son in Proverbs. Solomon is king. He's about 55, 60 years old. He's talking to his son, Jeroboam, and he's explaining to him, a 17-year-old boy. He said, son, and he teaches him all the things of life. Proverbs is a tremendous book. It's 31 chapters about life. It covers everything. I read a chapter of Proverbs every day of my life. And whatever the day of the month is, that's the proverb that I read. So today's the 24th. I read Proverbs 24 this morning. Yesterday was Proverbs 23, and I saw that passage again. And God just kind of gave me a thought to share with you this morning on buy the truth and sell it not. And here's a father talking to his children, his son, Jeroboam, who's going to become the king. He's saying, now, son, listen, when you need to buy the truth and sell it not. Did you notice he did not tell him what the truth was? He didn't even tell him where to find it. He just said, son, you buy the truth, and once you get it, you don't give it up at any price. Buy the truth and sell it not. All these years later, it's still a good principle by which to live. Buy the truth and sell it not. To understand that, and if we keep it in the context of buying and selling, shopping, if you want to call it that, then we understand this. When it comes to the truth, we need to know how to separate what we want from what we need. They call it impulse buying. People go in a store. Have you ever gone into Costco? You ever gone into Costco to buy one item and come out $100 later and wonder how you did that? Do you ever notice that a lot of the stores, it is a marketing thing. They put the most expensive items at eye level. And the cheapest items are either way down here or way up here, hard to get to. And for most people, they just walk down, they see something, they grab it, and they buy it. Or they go into a store, and they're just looking around, and they wind up impulse buying. They wind up buying stuff that they look at it, and they go, oh, yeah, that's nice. And people, look here. When an item is 80% off and you still can't afford it, it's not a deal. 80% off a $2 million home is still not a deal. Well, that's a good deal for the price. No. If you can't afford it, it's still not a deal. You know what we do when we go shopping? We have to be careful when we go to buy something that we buy what we need and not necessarily just what we want. Buy the truth and sell it not. When it comes to the truth, my friend, listen to me very carefully. You need to settle for nothing less than what you need. You need the truth. I'm going to talk to you about what it is in a moment, but now listen to me. You need to have a desire for that. There needs to be a part of you that wants the truth and nothing less. Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, in this day and age today, there's a lot of information out there. There are over 861 million websites to access. I know I did them all last night. You ever done that? Look up one thing, and the next thing you know, an hour later, you're looking at chihuahuas in Mexico. And that isn't even what you were in there for. But it led from one thing to the other thing, to the other thing, and to the other thing. And I know people, I know there's people in this room this morning. You think God is G-O-D, is spelled G-O-O-G-L-E. All you have to do is look it up, and if it's on the internet, well, that's the truth. Here's all these information resources we have today. And they're not all bad. Some of them are junk. They're not all bad. But the truth of the matter is, what is it that you, what do you really need? Do you need answers or do you want the truth? Do you want it? Is your desire this morning to know the absolute, unquestionable, undeniable truth about any matter? See, it's not an issue of whether or not that's available. It is. The issue is, do you want that though? And do you need it? Do you need the truth for your life today? Do you need to know the absolute certain truth of any matter, on any situation, for any reason, under any circumstances, for any decision, for any choice, for any situation I face in my life, for any area of my life, at this point, later on, down the road, when I'm a senior citizen, when I'm a child, when I'm a young person, when I'm an adult, when do I have a desire? See, a need is different than a want. If I want something, well, that's different. I have impulses in my life. And it's weird. At the 61 years of age, I find impulses come on me stronger now than before. And I'll be just driving down the road, see a fire hydrant, I want an ice cream cone. That's just weird. And I get cravings. Seriously. You know, here at church, we've got this grocery store and a couple of restaurants over here. I come out of the door and I'll say, that's Subway. That's the Chinese restaurant. Oh, they're frying chicken at Save More. Oh, there's pizza at Round Table. They're frying burgers at Carl's Jr. And what's going on at Smoke and Joe's over there? Okay, good. I get impulses. And I want something. I'm on a no dessert thing right now. But you don't laugh. I am. Why do you think I see a fire hydrant and want an ice cream cone? I'm on a no dessert thing. Have been now for, I don't know, a month and a half or longer. No desserts. Now, thank you. God bless me. The truth is, it's, you know, like cereal and stuff like that, one thing. But no desserts, nothing. Strawberry Festival in Happy Valley the other day. What, for a couple of bucks you can get a strawberries thing about the size of a VW. Saw that on the news last night. You sit there and slobber like a dog. What I want, listen to me, what I want is one thing. What I need becomes a necessity in my life. By the truth. Now, dear people, listen to me this morning. You need to have a need for the truth in your life. Again, I'll tell you where you find it this morning, but I'm telling you this morning. See, what we need are people who just have this thing. They absolutely must have the truth. I got saved as a 9-year-old boy, and after some years of wandering from God, all my teenage years and my first few years of my young adult life when I was in the military, I was away from the Lord in my life. And I tried all kinds of things in my life, like a lot of young people. They think they got to experiment with everything in life. And I did. And I got away from God, and I got away from the Bible, and I got away from church, and I was still somewhat connected to my family, not tremendously. And I went on a search. And in that time, I tried all kinds of stuff. Everything from foolish to carnal to spiritual. I was overseas in the service, and a young man that I met over there, it was in the same outfit I was into transcendental meditation, where you meditate. You take a one or two syllable word and you chant that while you burn candles and you close your eyes and you go and you meditate. And you go deep into your subconscious. I won't waste the whole day, but he drew me a little picture of an iceberg and how that there's more under the water than above the water. He said, that's your subconscious. And there's stuff in there you need to know. And if you'll do this chanting and meditation, you'll go into your subconscious and you'll learn things about yourself. I thought, I'm a California kid, I'll give it a shot. So he gave me a mantra and I started chanting it. Now you do it quietly. It's not like you're in the room, you shave your head and wearing orange pajamas to sell airport books, you know, stuff like that. I'm sitting in my room, lit a candle, dimmed the lights. Started doing the mantra. I won't tell you what it is because some of you will go home and try it. While I did the mantra, I kept visioning an iceberg. And the next thing I remember, I was sound asleep. I got way down into my subconscious, way down. I had one of the best naps I'd had in years. I tried it for a couple of days, and I thought, that's about the dumbest thing I think I ever saw in my life. Now listen, Pete, say, well, that's because you believe the Bible. And I was outside of the will of God. I was trying things. When I got out of the service in 1975, God did some things in my life to waken me up. And then I set out on a quest, ladies and gentlemen, that I have been on now for the last 40-plus years of my life. And here it is. I need the truth. I don't want anything else but the truth. Forget the answers. There's all kinds of answers. I want the truth. I must have the truth for my life. And did you know something, ladies and gentlemen? When you separate want from need in this buy the truth and sell it not, you'll find something out. The God of heaven will get the truth to you. Show me somebody who needs the truth and will not settle for any answers, and I'll show you somebody who will find the truth in their life. They will. Not the truth they like. Not the truth that's acceptable to them. Not the truth that's agreeable to their heart and their life. Because see, that's a want thing. A need thing. Once you find what you need, you'll know what it is. And the truth will make you free, the Bible says. And it set me free. It set me free from all the foolishness of this world, the foolishness of a world that only has questions and not answers. They can only criticize, but they can't correct anything. They don't know what they're doing. There's confusion, a termite, and a yo-yo. And we're out there today, people in this room right now, you listen to what the world tells you before what God would tell you, and then you wonder why you can't get anything resolved in your life. Then you separate want from need. Buy the truth and sell it not. Well, then, of course, you have to look in the right place. You cannot buy good clothes at a gas station. Now, I've been in gas stations that sold clothes. You have too. And I've never found a good steak in an auto parts store. Can't recall ever finding that there. And in order for you and I to find the truth now, if we're going to buy the truth and sell it not, in order to do that, I've got to look in the right place. You see, now here comes Pastor Johnson. You're going to say the Bible, huh? Thank you for running ahead of me. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Say, no. Say, hey, no, that's the truth as you believe it is. No. That's not the truth as I believe it. It's the truth as it is. We don't invent truth, people. We don't make that up. In Romans chapter 1, if you read it when you go home today, there's a progressive slide of humanity that starts up here where they knew God, and it ends down here where they deny God. It starts up here where they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became foolish in their hearts' imaginations, the Bible says, and they held the truth in unrighteousness. Now they tell us things that are wicked, according to the Bible, are legal. They're right. Excuse me. Just because society changed their mind doesn't change the Bible. Now look here. Here's what happens. Then Mike Johnson comes to this desire, this hunger for the truth. I want to know the truth, but I've got to find that out where it is. So I've got to go on a quest. And I've got to go on a search. So I go up to the Himalayas. And I go up to the tallest mountain. And I meet some guy who lives in a cave and sits around and meditates. And he come to understand himself better because of it. Well, there's no truth in selfishness. That's ridiculous. Or he tried in the foolishness of life. Read the book of Ecclesiastes sometime. Here's Solomon, the wisest, richest, most wealthy, famous man of his day. No one's ever been as wealthy as Solomon was. Nobody. Somewhere between $20 to $40 million a month he received for 40 years of his reign in just gifts. 200-man personal choir. He didn't have an iPad, pod, whatever. He didn't have one of those. He just say, music, 200 people will come in and start singing for him. Took him 7 years to build the great Solomon's temple. Took him 13 years to build his own house. People traveled from all over the world to hear this man, listen to what he had to say. In the end of his days, he said, you know what, it doesn't mean anything to me. It's all worthless. He ended his life a rich, wise, wealthy, famous man who was disillusioned because Solomon tried every kind of foolishness you could think of. He even tried drinking. He tried alcohol, as dumb as that can be. Why do people who are down in their life drink alcohol? Worst, most depressive instrument you could put in your body is alcohol. But he tried that. He tried women. He had 1,000 wives. 1,000! scratch the wisest man thing. 700 princesses, daughters of kings in the world. 700. And 300 concubines, pinch hitters. He had 1,000 wives. He had all these possessions. He had everything you could think of. Incredible. Listen here. And he said, I searched. He tried real estate. He tried business. He had so much money he could drive along and see a country and go, I'll take it. And he'd buy the country. The country. Not a split-level condo. The whole cotton-picking thing. But he never found what he was looking for because he kept looking in the wrong place. Because his whole statement in Ecclesiastes is under the sun. He said, everything under the sun, under the sun. Well, that's his problem. He wasn't looking in the right source. Solomon was taught the Bible. Listen, he turned from the Word of God that he was taught. And because he did, he couldn't find what he was looking for. All he had to do was turn around and go back. And that's what he did, by the way, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He said this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Got right down to this. Love God, live for him, and trust his word. Too bad he had to waste his whole life to find that out. You want the truth? No, you need it. And in this day and age where people are as confused as a termite and a yo-yo, don't know where they're going, what they're doing, or how to get there. Oh, by the way, but they can tell you you're wrong. That's one of my favorite part. Yo, you people believe the Bible. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. For many of us, we've already been where they were. We've been to that, listen, we've been to that fishing hole, and ain't no fish in that hole. We've already gone there. We've already tried that. Been there, done that, bought that t-shirt, and don't care to have it any longer. We already know that what they have doesn't work, but they can tell us we're wrong because we trust the Word of God. Excuse me. You're an old hippie boy from the 60s who got right with God in the book. And when I did, I found not just what I wanted, I found what I needed in my life. And it wasn't in Eastern religions, and it wasn't in taking naps while I was chanting and burning wax. And it wasn't in alcohol, and it wasn't in drugs, and it wasn't in living for Mike Johnson. It was that book right there, that book, that Word of God. That's, listen, you got it. If you want the truth, one thing, you need it, you're going to have to go to the Bible because that's where you're going to get it. And then that book is going to do this for you. It's going to point you to Jesus Christ for salvation. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'll find the truth is in salvation is in Christ. People get stuck on this church thing because so many churches tell people you have to go to their church or be a part of their church in order to go to heaven. Wrong! You get saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the truth of the matter. And therein is salvation. Then that book will give you guidance and direction. It'll be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. You got to listen now. You got to look in the right place. John chapter 18, Jesus Christ is standing in front of the power of the authority of his day, Pilate, the governor. And Jesus made a statement to Pilate about the truth. And then Pilate looked at Jesus Christ and he said, what is truth? He was standing right before him and Pilate missed it. A lot of people are going to do that in their life. They're going to have the truth right in front of them and they're going to miss it. Because they won't accept the simple truth of God's word. English class in high school, my senior year. We spent the entire senior year discussing great thoughts such as, what came first, the chicken or the egg? My favorite, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, listen now, does it make a sound? Now some of you are going to go home today and meditate on that one. You're going to think about that. Well, of course it doesn't. No, but if you're not there. Half a semester on that one question. That's why to this day I still don't know the 14 parts of speech. How many are there? I thought there was 8. Okay, never mind. I still don't know that. Seriously, look here. My teachers went around the class and asked all the kids, what did they think about that tree thing? And there was kids who stood up and, 5-10 minutes went on about the subjective philosophy of a tree falling in the forest and no one's there, does it make a sound? And I'm sitting in class. Now listen, again, I was out of the will of God. Kid wasn't living for the Lord. And I sat there and I thought, this is the stupidest thing I ever saw in my life. I am wasting my time. I could be out in the parking lot smoking cigarettes and I'm here in this stupid class listening to this dumb question. And the teacher came to me. She said, Mike Johnson, how about you? What do you think, Mike Johnson? And I said, as long as I ain't standing under it, I don't care. She did not appreciate my sarcasm. Most people don't. You know the truth of the matter is, dear people, no, it's not there. It's not there. No, I'm sorry, but I've read philosophers, some of the great philosophers of the past. These guys, seriously, they were either oxygen deprived or they were organically motivated. But they didn't come up with any truth, just a bunch of junk. The word is truth. So then you understand this morning you got to look in the right place. It's not just truth because I think it is. It's truth because it is. And then you have to pay a price for this truth. Buy the truth and sell it. Now, it'll cost you something. Hey, the truth of Jesus Christ is salvation and he alone is salvation. That'll cost you something. It won't cost you anything to be saved. Jesus already paid the price. But what it will cost you is it'll cost you your religion of works. That'll cost you something. You have to give up that baptism for salvation, church membership for salvation, live a good life for salvation. Some of you, it'll cost you your philosophy, your own spiritual condition garbage. And I'm sorry, but it is. I respect your right to believe it, but you got to respect the right that I'm telling you you're wrong. And not just because I said you're wrong, but because the Bible says there is salvation and neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none of the name come to heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You come to God through Christ or you don't come. Now that'll cost you something. May cost you a few family members. You might have to quit going to some of these churches that tell you you got to live a good life, get works, join their church. It'll cost you something. There's a cost to truth. But then is it not worth it if you have the truth when you're done? I'd say so. It'll cost you the approval of man. It'll cost you acceptance in a society that's become intolerant of those who believe the Bible. These toleration people, look here. These toleration people tell us we're intolerant. They're intolerance of our intolerance. Like people who tell you you're not supposed to judge, they're judging you for judging. Okay, you don't get that. The point is, excuse me, but it'll cost you something now. So you come to the Word of God and you approach it as it is in fact and indeed the truth. You embrace what it tells you. And now, once you do, don't give that up at any price. Buy the truth and sell it not. You ever watch Antiques Roadshow? Some guy goes to a garage sale, buys a painting for $2. Takes it to the roadshow, holds it up there, and the guy goes, this is valued at $250,000. That is the only reason I would go to a garage sale. Find a $250,000 picture for $2. What I feel sorry for is the poor fool who sold him that picture for $2. That's what I feel sorry for. Now, I don't have any junk like that in my garage. I assure you, there's nothing in there worth $2. But the truth of the matter is, it's amazing what people will sell things for. How much they'll just take it. They just sell it. People today in America are just literally giving away their patriotism, their love for this country. Because it doesn't mean anything to them. You know why? It didn't cost them anything. There's no investment in that. We're blessed to have the privileges of the liberties of this nation that are paid for by others. We are blessed for that. That should mean something to us. So when something doesn't go our way, we don't run around and burn stores down and tear neighborhoods up. First of all, what's the matter with these people? They burn their own neighborhood down. That's dumb. Don't burn anybody's neighborhood down, but don't burn your own neighborhood down. But they have no value of things, no value to the freedoms that they have. And as a child of God, we come to the Bible. Now we've understood it. We embraced it. We trusted Christ. We got saved. The Word of God lives in us. Jesus Christ lives in us. The Spirit of God is in us, and He's the Spirit of truth. And then the Bible begins to ask some things of us in our life and we go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I'm sorry, but my kids have got to play soccer on Sunday. And you sell it just like that. It's Memorial Day weekend. And I don't mean people take vacations. Of course, please understand that. But it's amazing people who will just check out an entire season of their life because it's hunting, fishing, I don't know, whatever. And I'm okay with hunting and fishing. If it crawls, it falls. If it flies, it dies. If it's brown, it's down. I mean, all that stuff is good with me, okay? The point is, that didn't go over too well. The point is this, it's okay. You understand that? But wait a minute, excuse me. But what's amazing to me is how quickly we'll sell that out. Some of you guys, some woman will just look at you and bat her eyes, and all of a sudden there goes thou shalt not commit adultery out the window. Or on a computer. or your tablet or your electronic device. And you just sell it just like that. You just sell it just like that. You get on a social media site and you just sell it just like that. Talk to some old high school buddy who, quite frankly, probably is as tall laying down as he is standing up. And then you're going to get involved with somebody that's not your spouse and you just sell it just like that. Excuse me. You understand what I'm saying this morning? We know what the Bible tells us, and now here are people who have the truth. You have even paid a price to have it, and now you're going to sell it for what? You go to work and you're ashamed of Jesus Christ because that's just not real popular in some circles, and you sell it for man's approval? Buy the truth. And then there is no price for that, so you can't sell it. I love it when the children go out the door here, and some of them will have suckers. And I'll ask if I can have a lick. Most of them, no. I got a few of them now. They'll let me have a lick on their sucker. See, that's in that kid's mouth, Pastor Johnson. No, don't worry about it. I haven't got leprosy yet. I'm okay. Some of them won't do it, and I'll say, "Hey, kiddo, okay, I'll give you $5 for that sucker." That little bugger looked at $5 and looked at that sucker and go, "Mm-mm." You know why? That 2 cent sucker is more valuable to him than my $5. He said, "Well, he doesn't understand what he has." That's right. That's right. Excuse me. Excuse me. Sell it not. There's no price on what we believe. Excuse me. No, I'm sorry. Not at work, not at home, not at school, not anywhere in community. There is no price for that. I'm not going to sell that. What I believe in the Word of God gave me is the truth. It isn't the truth because I believe it. It's because the Bible is the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not for sale. It's not for sale to you. It's not for sale to anybody else. And your attitude ought to be the same. Say, "Well, that's just inflexible." Thank you, because that's what the truth is. It is inflexible. It is not subjective. It is not objective. There is no room for discussion. You have your right to your opinion, but opinions are not the truth. Opinions are opinions. The truth comes from the Bible. And when the Bible makes a statement about something, that's the end of it. We don't have to vote on it. We don't have to take a poll. And we don't have to ask Hollywood. We already know what the Bible says. That's the truth. Buy the truth, sell it not. You say, "Well, Pastor Johnson, if I believe that, I'd have to change a lot of things." Then you need to change them. But the blessing of having the truth is, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.